welcome everybody to the Master's Class here at Swoomit Church and an icy skating day out there. I had to take my time a little bit to get inside the door and be careful. I live in constant fear of going down because there'd be an earthquake and the seismographs would go off and they'd have to have a forklift out there to get me off the ground and so forth. So I take it pretty careful. And last week, we began a two-part series on the role of a father in the direction that a child will go as they get older. And our message today will be about the way parents can raise a child who is wise and loves God. But before we start that, just so everyone's on the same page, I need to summarize what we talked about last week, because I also know that I can't remember 5 minutes what I talked about. And so I figure you guys can't remember a whole week from what I talked about, okay? But I promise I'm just going to touch the highlights. We're not going to spend a lot of time summarizing. I'm just going to touch on the highlights of last week's lesson. I said last week that our lesson last week could be subtitled, How to Be the Father of a Fool. And the reason is that we talked about what happens when a father fails to teach his child to love God with all of their heart. Now, certainly we would like to think that every parent, every father, every mother loves their child and wants what is best for them, right? I mean, that's what we'd like to think about parents. And as believers, we want to believe that the deepest desire of every parent, every father, every mother is that their children will love God with all of their hearts, right? Is that your desire for all of your children and your grandchildren and everybody that is involved? My deepest desire is that my boys and my grandkids all love God with all of their hearts. But now, unfortunately, not all children have the benefit of loving parents. Sometimes children are caught up in the mistakes and the pride and the arrogance of their parents. And more often than not, it is the pride and the arrogance of the father that they have to deal with. Now, sometimes it is the mother, and sometimes it's even both. And in this society that we have today, mothers are as much a problem as fathers are sometimes. But more often than not, it is the father who is the one who is full of pride and full of arrogance. So we talk about the fact that there are many children who are going to be shipwrecked because of the pride and the arrogance of their fathers, who willingly choose not to guide those children into a safe and secure haven. Those fathers will shipwreck not only their own lives, but the lives of their children, who will suffer in their own ignorance because their father did not teach them the ways of God. So what happens to that child who was not taught by their parents to love God? There is an evolution of that child into becoming a fool. And we said that God have mercy upon the man, the woman who has a fool for a daughter or a fool for a son, because they are going to grow up and they are destined to spend an eternity in hell without God. That's the really sad thing about what happens to these kids. But that is not the way that child starts out. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, that is where a godly father and a godly mother come into the picture. It is their responsibility to teach that child what it means to love God with all of their heart. Now, the fact is, ultimately, it is the child who must choose to accept or reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And even with the best of parents, that child still has to make their own choice. And some do not choose to accept Jesus Christ. That's just sad. But some do not choose to do it themselves. But first, let's summarize what we said last week. And here in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives us the three steps in the evolution of a child when the father fails to teach his child to love God because of his own arrogance and pride. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 22 are our focus verses for today. And it says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. And in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." So right here in verse 22, we see that those three steps begin with the child being simple. Every child begins life being simple. Solomon asked, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity?" Now, the word simple is translated from a Hebrew word that simply means open or naive, right? And notice that it has nothing to do with intellectual ability. We're not talking about a simpleton. We're not talking about a person who doesn't have sufficient brain matter to conduct their lives on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, a simple child can grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, a politician. Heaven help them if they do that. But, they can become a politician. They may even grow up to be a minister, right? They may even grow up to be a minister. Simple just simply means someone who has a plastic mentality, meaning they are moldable and they are open or naive. Everybody got the idea what simple is? Yep. All right. All children begin as simple, but how that child evolves from being simple can be greatly impacted by the father and the mother of that child. Now, the next word that Solomon mentions is the word scorner. And he says, "And the scorners delight in their scorning." So now, here, the scorner is different from that simple child. The simple is more or less innocent, but the scorner is someone I want to call smart aleck, and I really don't like that description because I don't think it's quite accurate for what it is, but I can't figure out something else to say. But he's a cynic, and he's a mocker of everything that takes place, especially the things of God. And those are the scornful. They go from being simple to being scornful. First, they are simple, and then if they're not taught, they evolve into the scorner. But then the next step of the evolution of the child, whose father is full of pride and arrogance, is the fool. Solomon says of them, "And fools hate knowledge." Now, right by that word fool, the words rebel and arrogant and wicked. And again, the word fool does not have to be or have the idea that a person is lacking mental ability. In fact, he may be very wise to actually go out and do evil. Actually, they're quite clever, right, to be out there doing the evil. The word has a moral base, and it means without ability to discern. And they can't discern right from wrong is essentially what they're doing. So you see, God gives us little children, and they are what we call simple. But if you're not careful, we have a society that's going to turn that child into a scorner. It's going to make him a scorner. It's going to make him a cynic. It's going to make him a mocker of the things of God. Now, and if he does, and if he's not rescued when he becomes a scorner and a smart aleck, he's going to become a fool, and he's going to end up in hell. He won't even know the difference between right and wrong. Now, so when this is what happens when we do not teach our children. When a father who is so wrapped up in his own life, who is so proud and arrogant that they do not love God and do not wish to teach their children to love God, then their children will become fools and they will be destined to an eternity in hell. I can't say it any plainer than that, right? I hope you hear my words today, and I pray that you will not let this happen to your children and your grandchildren. Then you might say, "Well, Brother Keith, you're right. I don't want to raise my children to be fools and to not know how to love God with all of their heart. So what can I do?" I'm really glad you guys asked that question. Because you guys just ask such smart questions, and you lead me right into the rest of my lesson here, which is about what? how to be the father of a wise child. How to be the father of a wise child. Okay, so if we're going to be the father of a wise child, let's go back to the start of that evolution that we talked about last week, and let's see if we can point that child down a different path. Because we don't want them to become a fool, right? We want them to be wise enough to love God with all of their heart. And so we go back to that simple child. Without question, it is much easier to impact a child when they are young, when they are simple, when they have not developed this attitude of their own about the world, right? It is so much easier when they're still moldable, right? So what can you do? Dads, what can you do? Moms, what can you do so as not to raise a fool? And in today's lesson, I want to mention four things. Now, there are lots of things, this is just scratching the surface, okay? But I'm going to talk about four things that you can do to keep your child from being a fool, or in other words, how to raise a wise child. So the first thing you need to do is to expound the truth. Expound the truth. And where do we find that truth? In the Word of God, right? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." That's what the Word of God does. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's why God gave us this book called the Proverbs. So that we can use it to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, some of you guys know my sons, and some of you haven't. My youngest son used to be a youth minister here at this church before he went off and did other things. But I've got two godly sons, and they have grown into men who have families of their own. And as I look back as to how I taught those boys, and I do like everybody else does, I start thinking about how I, especially when I'm preparing lessons like this, how would I have done things differently had I known then what I know now, right? I know that besides even raising our kids differently, there are lots of things that we would probably do differently if we could only know then what we know now, right? I've said this before, I think God's got it backwards. I think we ought to have the wisdom when we're young and when we need it. And you know, as we get older and we don't have to have it quite so much, you know, we can lose that wisdom, right? I still think it's a little backwards, but you know, hey, I would never tell God he has something wrong, all right? But if I could have it all over to do again, I believe I would saturate those boys in this book of Proverbs. This is a book full of God's wisdom. That's not just because we're teaching it here today. This is just one of the most powerful books in the Bible about the wisdom of God. This book is full of God's wisdom. I would also burn the Ten Commandments into their consciousness. And then I would also teach them the Beatitudes so that they might learn these basic, simple truths. In other words, I would expound the truth that is found in the Word of God. The battle is the mind. As the child thinks, so is he. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Right? Now, dads, I want you to listen carefully to me here. The Bible says that the major teacher in the life of a child is the father. It is the father who God has given the role of the spiritual leader of the home. And it is your responsibility to teach your children the ways of God. You read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 where God gave the Ten Commandments. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God says to the fathers in verse 2, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statute and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." So in other words, teach these commandments to your sons and to your grandsons. that your family would survive and that your home would endure. That's exactly what he is saying here. So teach your children the Word of God. And don't just teach them the Word of God, teach them how to study the Word of God. There's an art to studying the Word of God and being able to get something out of it. It's not so many people just read through the Bible. Well, if you don't slow down and study the Word of God, you're missing a whole lot. There's value to be had in reading through the Word. Every time I just read through it, Holy Spirit shows me something different, right? But there is something about stopping and reading a single verse, a single phrase, and spending time meditating on that verse and studying that verse and applying that verse to your life. And then teach them to memorize and apply the Word of God to their hearts so that they will never be without it. And then, most of all, teach them the gospel message that Jesus Christ loves them and all that He has done for them. Teach them to love God with all of their hearts. Now, just to be clear, I've been talking about the father here. The role of the mother is also to teach that child or their children to love God and to obey His commandments. In fact, this is what I call a tag team responsibility. It really is. It works best when both the father and the mother are working together to raise that child. Now, unfortunately, we have in our society way too many single-parent families in our world. So when that happens, it just makes it all the harder on that single parent, be it a father or a mother. It just makes it all the harder, but God is with you every step of the way. When you are obedient to God's will in teaching that child, that Holy Spirit will be there with you and will guide you and will empower you to teach that child to love God, right? So the first step in raising a wise child, a child that loves God, is to first expound the truth. And then the next thing you have to do is expose sin. And when you do expose sin for what it is, then the simple will learn by example. The simple will learn by example. Proverbs 19:25 says, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." So this is a key verse here. Now, watch what it says. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Underscore that. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Now, this is a causality statement, which just means that if you do this, then this will happen, right? So Solomon says, if you smite a scorner, then the result will be that the simple will beware. All right? Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that you're to walk around smacking everybody you see that is a scorner, right? Now, I think probably it wouldn't do your child much good if you're in fights all the time and or you end up in jail for smiting somebody, okay? That's not what Solomon is trying to say. It means that a child who is carefree and careless, who is simple, needs to see the scorner smitten. He needs to see sin exposed and the fruit of sin. That's what the word smitten is talking about here. It's not hitting somebody. It's the end result of what that sin is. So Solomon explains it further in Proverbs 21:11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now that makes it a whole lot more clear, doesn't it? So he says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Now, what does that mean? Do you know what the worst thing that can happen to your child? It would be for your child to live in a sinful society that we have today, and yet for your child not to see the repercussions of that sin. You know, for example, he watches television, and he sees people sleeping together all the time, right? But he never sees anybody get pregnant. He never sees an abortion. He never sees venereal disease. He never sees the breakup of a home. He doesn't see any of that. He doesn't see the scorner being smitten by the consequences of their sin. Instead, he sees a commercial with the guys in the bass boat hoisting a big can of beer and smacking their lips and slapping each other and hugging each other and giving each other high fives and saying it never gets any better than this. Remember that commercial? That's a long way back, right? It never gets any better than this. Well, I'm going to tell you, in fact, that statement's true. Actually, it doesn't even get that good, especially if you're catching fish, right? Yeah, that's right. But it doesn't even get that good. The truth is, it always gets worse than that. But they never show that guy. You know, those commercials, those TV shows, they never show him as a drunkard living homeless on the street. They don't show a man, a drunk dad, coming home and beating up his kids. They don't show any of that. Your kids don't get to see the scorner smitten. You know, our children today are insulated. They just don't know. That's the reason you need to help them understand. You need to expose sin. You need to not only expound the truth, you need to expose sin for what it is. You know, we have a society today that shrinks from punishing criminals. And that's the reason why we're producing so many more criminals. But let me give you another verse of Scripture that is key here. It's Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is what? Fully set in them to do evil. So, this is such a key verse. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men, that means your sons and your daughters, is fully set in them to do evil. Now, let me give it to you again. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. For example, instead of the criminal in our society receiving speedy justice, the average time it takes for a murder suspect to even begin their trial is someplace around 2 years. Then after that, there is one appeal, then another appeal, and then another appeal, and then another appeal. And if they happen to be convicted and go through all those, it may be 20, 25 years before their sentence is finally even determined, right? So a boy in the slums of our cities can see his friends standing on the street corner selling dope. And he can see that undercover agent come and arrest that guy. And he watches his friend being carried off. And his friend is kind of smiling as they go because he's been in the system before. He knows how this whole thing works, right? He's kind of a hero. And 2 or 3 days later, he's right back on the same corner selling dope again. Now, what does that say? In the hearts and the minds of what they see, there's no connection between crime and punishment because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So what you need to do is expound truth and expose error in the lives of your children. You need to pull away that veil on the darkness of sin. At one time, there was a juvenile delinquency program called Scared Straight. Everybody heard of that Scared Straight program? There was a movie on it, and that kind of started a whole, type of program and so forth. But the Scared Straight program gave tours and sometimes even closer contact. They had them actually stay in the jail cell with the adults in the hope of having teenagers see and realize how terrible prison is and essentially scaring them straight. Now, I've got a son that works at El Dorado Corrections Facility. He was a corrections officer. I made it all the way up to sergeant. Now he's a counselor. And his office is right down there in the middle of the public center of the mental health ward. And so his office is right there. And all of the prisoners during their open time are right out there in the middle of the concourse. The things he sees would curl your hair. I'm here to tell you, he doesn't even want to talk about them most of the time. And then when a riot happens or whatever, they've got to be able to book it out of there in a heartbeat, right? Because they're the targets of everything going on. But you've you've got to be able to find some way of doing it. Now, that program is out of favor in our current state. They don't do that anymore, all right? And for a lot, probably a lot of good reasons, but to me, it has some logic to it that you let kids see what the consequences of sin really is. You need to find some way to expose sin to your children. Show them the consequences of sin. And that's sometimes hard to do in our society because in many cases, what they can see and what we can see is people sin, and the result appears to be what? Wealth, fame, and free sex, and whatever, right? But you need to figure out how to expose the hidden consequences that those people suffer. The consequences that nobody sees. Now, here's the third thing, and I want you to hang with me here because it's not what you think. I'm going to say this, and it's not going to be what you first jump out to and think about, okay? I'm not going to tell you to expel your kid, all right, out of your family or whatever. Now, there are circumstances when that might be needed, like when your safety or the safety of that child is at stake, but that's not what I'm talking about. There's a host of reasons that it may be required, but that's not what I am talking about here, okay? Everybody clear on that? Yet, what I'm about to say is still controversial in the eyes of many people today. And you may disagree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. And why am I going to say it anyway? Because you can be wrong if you want to be, right? And I've never said that before, have I? So, anyway, I'm going to say it anyhow. So, the third step is to expel scorners. You have to expound the truth, expose error, and expel scorners, right? So Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Moms and dads, I want you to underscore that. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And Proverbs 22:10 says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, what we're talking about here is who you let your simple child associate with. Now, I'm sure you guys were the same way, but one of the speeches my father never got tired of telling me is that I would be judged by the company that I kept, right? That I would be judged by the company that I kept. In other words, if I hung around with kids who were always causing trouble, then people would see me as a troublemaker as well. And so when anything bad happened in the neighborhood, the first place people would look and blame, regardless if it was true or not, would be who? That group of boys that were considered to be troublemakers, right? And if I was a part of them, I was going to go down the tubes with them, right? So when Solomon says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed, that's kind of one of those things of wisdom that I wished I had back then that I have now, right? I'm a lot better staying out of the company of fools today than I used to be. But anyway, Solomon says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed and cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He's telling you not to let your children hang around with scorners and fools. Just don't do it. You help him select his friends. And that means you may have to be firm and cast out the scorner. Why? Because your child needs it. Listen, if your child is naive, if your child is simple, then they are going to be susceptible to peer pressure. Somebody once said, it's hard to fly with eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys. It's hard to fly with eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys. Don't you dare stand by and let your kids run with turkeys, because a companion of fools will be destroyed. Will be destroyed. Now, to be honest, this was something that my wife and I learned in between the growing up of our two sons. Our sons are about 7 years apart, and we sent our first son through public school, from kindergarten all the way to high school. And he turned out okay, but I got to tell you, it was a lot harder than it needed to be. And I know you can argue with me all day long about how your child needs to learn how to deal with sin and bullies and temptation. And I agree with you, they need to learn how to do that. I just differ on when they should have to deal with them. I would rather them be older, wiser, and more defined in their beliefs when I turn them loose in a crowd of scorners and fools for 8 hours a day and me not be around. Now, during that 7-year period between our kids, we had a little time for our own wisdom to grow, right? And as my younger son was completing the second grade, we began to notice a change in his attitude. And we looked at the kids he was with, and we saw the attitudes that they had. And then we looked at the curriculum that the public school system was using. And at that time, my wife was Heva. She was there every day at school volunteering in my son's classes and working with the kids and helping them with the curriculum and so forth. But we looked at that curriculum that the public school system was using, and we determined that was not what we wanted for our son. So we made the decision to homeschool our second son all the way through high school. Now, this was back when homeschool wasn't as popular as it is today. But being able to choose the kids our son was exposed to, being able to teach our son about God and His commandments and the Bible all day long in school was the best decision we ever made. Hands down, it was the best decision we ever made. Now, homeschool is not for everybody, and it takes a real commitment on the part of the parents, in this case, my wife. There's a whole lot of people finding out what it takes to have educate your kids at home during this COVID stuff, right? It takes a lot of commitment. Now, in our case, it was my wife, and she was dedicated, and she has been a great teacher for them. It is hard work to do this. But if you are serious about not letting your child be the companion of scores and fools, then why in the world would you insert them into a school that hates God, despises His commandments, and celebrates perversion by teaching them that homosexuality is to be praised? And that's what they teach them in our schools today. It breaks my heart every time I think about those kids in our public schools and the sin that is programmed into their minds. Now, thank heavens, and I've got teachers in my families. I've had teachers, you know, all my aunts were teachers, and my dad was supposed to be a teacher, and he was a black sheep of the family. He didn't become a teacher, and I've got a sister who's a teacher in the public schools, and they're all harping at me when I say stuff like this, okay? And thank heavens for teachers that are in our schools who love God and stand for God and with our kids. But I'm here to tell you, the laws of our country are quickly making them the exception rather than the rule. They are being forced by law to teach the world's curriculum. Now, let me say, I'll get off my soapbox, okay? All right. Let me say that peer pressure is not always bad. It can be good if the peers that they're around are good. So that's all the more reason that you need to get the right kids in your home. That's all the more reason that you need to make your home the headquarters for happiness. You need to make your home the place where the kids all come to play with your kids. Let your home be the happiest place on earth. And by the way, when you have them there, you can monitor those friends. And when there's a scorner, when there's a smart aleck or a fool, you say to that kid, son, right there's the sidewalk, you get on it, and don't let the door hit your fanny on the way out, right? The Bible says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Now listen carefully to me. This not only applies to the friends of your child, but to your adult friends that you and your wife bring into your home. Make sure they are the right type of friends. Don't let them be scorners and fools. Let your children see you associate with people who know God and love God and who are people of character. We want our children at the dinner table to listen to conversation, to enjoy the conversation, and to participate in the conversation between people who love God. People who love God. When Solomon says that a companion of fools shall be destroyed, but those who walk around wise people will be made wise. That includes you. You know, that's not just your children he's talking about. If you keep the company of fools, you're going to be destroyed. So then, here's the last thing. And I'm running out of time, but that's okay. Then, here's the last thing. You need to expound the truth. You need to expose sin. You need to expel scorners. But you also need to express love. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So love your children. Delight in them. Be positive. Correct them when they're wrong. But don't ever be negative. Words can hurt your children more than an open hand and a slap in the face. Learn to listen to your children. Try to see life from their point of view because they're facing things that you never had to face. So, the first thing is be gentle. Ask yourself, why is it that some children just adore and worship their dads and others hate their dads? What is it that is the difference between those two dads? Generally speaking, that's generally speaking, there's other things that take place, but generally speaking, there is one characteristic that is true in all dads whose children love and follow them, and that is that those dads are gentle. And it starts when they're children. Now, can you imagine what a big, harsh, overbearing dad would do to a little guy? I mean, just imagine a little child having to walk up to a guy like me. You know, from that child's perspective, I'm 17 feet tall. You know, and he barely sees my kneecaps, right? And you know, and then I start to speak. And he hears me speak using that deep, loud, commanding voice that sounds like thunder. And I start to tell him what to do. Imagine what is going on in his mind. Oh, my, right? Yeah, the one thing he's going to want to know is that I am a gentle father. Now, just imagine what he's thinking if he doesn't know that I am a gentle father. Right? Now just think of the things that are going on in his mind. So that's what children want out of their dads. They want somebody gentle. Oh, they want a dad they can look up to. They want a dad who is the strongest, wisest, smartest, fastest, richest, goodest. And I know there's no such word as goodest, okay? But best dad in the world. I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Yeah. But they want the best dad in the world, and they want him to be gentle. They want a dad who will touch them and hug them and show other nonverbal language. Learn to be gentle with your children. And then be transparent. Let them know of your fears and your joys and your disappointments and your failures and your goals. They already know that you're not perfect. You're not hiding anything from them. They see you at your best and your worst, right? They just don't want you to be a phony. They want you to be real with them. Show them that you can fail and how you react when you fail. How you can face tragedy when it happens in your life, right? And then be available to them. Make it a priority that you're going to be available to your child. They need to know that they mean everything to you, and where you put them in your priority of things to happen tells them an awful lot about how much they mean to you. You say, well, Brother Keith, I'm not adequate to do any of what you've just described. I know you're not. I'm not adequate either to do any of this. Listen to me. None of us have what it takes to be this kind of dad or mom. That's the reason we need Jesus, isn't it? That's the reason we need the Lord. That's the reason we got to have Christ in our hearts, because the Christian life is not difficult. It is impossible. It is impossible. So there's only one who can do it, and that's Jesus. But he will do it in us and through us if we'll let him. So the best thing you can do for your children is to love God with all of your heart. Give your heart to Jesus and then let him work through you. Amen? Amen. Amen.